Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Talk of the Rock here on KMXT. I'm your host, Davis. And for today's conversation, we will be discussing the topic of suicide. So for any listeners, if you are in crisis or need help, you can call or text 988, the Suicide Crisis Hotline. And here locally, you can also contact the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center by calling 907-486-3625. Again, that phone number, 907-486-3625. That's KWRCC's 24-hour crisis line. You can also always contact 911 if you're in an emergency situation. And now we'll jump into today's Talk of the Rock, which is a pre-recorded conversation from last week with Tanya Silva Johnson about the Safe Talk Training Suicide Intervention Program.
My name is Tanya Silva Johnson, and I'm a district-wide school social worker.
Great. Okay. And what is your connection to this program through Living Works called Safe Talk?
Well, I can start from the beginning. Back in 22, Providence sent a couple school counselors from the high school and myself, as well as one of their clinicians, down to Louisiana to be trained in the higher level program called ASSIST. But when we got back, we realized as trainers that that was way more involved, and we don't need as many people in the community to be higher level trained as we do suicide alert helpers. So then we worked to get Living Works to send trainers to come to Kodiak so that we could train a multitude of agencies to cooperate and allow for this program to be sustainable here. And that happened in 24.
And before we get too far ahead, I just want to make sure. So generally what we're talking about here for this program, this is suicide awareness and prevention training, correct?
It's an intervention.
Intervention.
Yeah. Okay. So it's so not really on the prevention, but it's really about how to respond and how to recognize the warning signs and what to do. And then you're, as a Safe Talk helper, you're really just getting the initial support and then passing them on to someone who can do the higher level.
Okay. So it does go a little bit deeper than just sort of, as you said, prevention. It's intervention, not prevention, but you are still sort of a mediary between an individual who needs assistance, who needs help, and the medical professional.
Right. It's that initial recognition and then that warm handoff to get them the help.
Okay. Continuing then. Yeah. So you mentioned before ASSIST was maybe not the program for you in the district and for folks here in town. So tell me about how you went to Living Works for this Safe Talk program.
When we heard about Safe Talk, the nice thing about Safe Talk is it can be done in 3 to 3.5 hours and for ages 15 and up. And that's when we realize if we can do this, we can train staff, we can train students, help it be community-wide. And then we, like I said, we have multiple agencies that help us even with our trainings, and we can assist them with their trainings as well.
Right. And logistically, obviously, that's a lot easier than trying to schedule someone from off island to come in
Correct.
Every single time for trainings. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's multiple trainers in the district. I think there's 9 of us in this district, 1 from CANA and Coast Guard Base as well, that maintain their certification.
And once you go through this training as a trainer specifically for the local folks you mentioned, how long is that certification good for? Do you know?
We keep renewing. Mm-hmm. The first year we had to do 3 trainings, mm-hmm. and then the subsequent years it's only 2.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And then within the district we're going to do it annually with our staff. We've trained 195 people since November of 24. And our goal is to maintain and make sure that all our staff are trained in this program.
And that includes not just teachers, but also admin staff or any other positions
Correct.
In the district?
Yeah, our hope is to get it out. Because the other reason that we know is most often you're likely to show signs with a coworker. A lot of people might live alone, and then the signs are strictly at work, and now those are the people you're spending the most time with. So if you, though, your coworkers can recognize those signs and ask the question. So TALK stands for, in safe talk, stands for tell, ask, listen, and keep safe.
And it sounds like what you're alluding to here, Tanya, is also that, you know, this applies to anybody of any age,
yes.
Obviously. It's, of course, we're concerned about our students. Don't want to minimize that. But there are also risks, of course, for suicide for adults, young adults, people of all ages, really.
Exactly. Yeah. And we know that for middle-aged white men, that that can be a high trigger point of in their life or risk factors. We also know that our Alaskan Native youth, that's the number one cause of death. And so we really want to make sure that we're hitting this as widespread as we can and recognizing that, yeah, anyone can be a suicide safe helper.
So let's talk a little bit more about then sort of this training. So you mentioned it's 3 to 3.5 hours long, roughly speaking. Mm-hmm. What's covered during that training?
We go through all the different signs and the reasons why that you might miss something or dismiss something. There's a lot of myths that people have about suicide, and really understanding the importance of asking the question, are you having thoughts of suicide? Not are you thinking of hurting yourself? Are you thinking of doing something dumb? We can't be vague. It's really critical. The evidence tells us that we have to be very specific and clear in our language.
Right, and so now you're talking a little bit more about, yeah, being direct, of course, but also the differences between ideation and maybe having a plan or not even getting to that point.
Yeah, we don't get too in-depth with this program. It's really about recognizing those signs and knowing how to ask and then supporting that person. And a lot of people kind of forget that there are certain life changes that people go through that can also initiate those thoughts. And so just asking the question, and we, you know, the program is really designed for fidelity in that it is structured very specifically. Our seating arrangement has to be the same. We do theater seating, which not everyone's comfortable with right away, but we do a little bit of role play, but it's very minimal. It's very low risk. And there's just that we also have a co-trainer who's on video, and that also allows for the training to be very consistent in how we roll it out every time.
And this person videoing in, they're there just basically to observe, or?
No, it's recorded videos.
Oh, it's recorded.
So we'll say, understood, like, oh, we're going to now turn to our co-trainer, and we'll play the vignette or the him talking.
I see. Understood. Mm-hmm. Right. So every little detail of this has been carefully thought about.
Yeah. So even though people are like, why can't we have, tables or desks? Everything is done in a certain way. And we are, as trainers, to do it exactly how they do it. And this is a worldwide program. It's out of Canada, but it's worldwide. So wherever you go for your Safe Talk training, you would have that consistency.
There's also, I printed out the one pager that you gave me. Thank you for that. So Living Works Safe Talk description sort of talks about not only the understanding and how to be direct and ask the questions, but also how to talk openly about suicide. And it says there's a 4-step model. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so that's the talk side of Safe Talk. And it's the tell, ask, listen, and then keep safe. So you're telling the person, like, I'm noticing that you've been late for work, you're missing appointments, and sometimes when that's going on, and I also know that you're going through a divorce, sometimes people have thoughts of suicide. Are you having thoughts of suicide?
Right.
It's really breaking it down, showing them the signs, and then listening, and then really kind of getting them some choice in getting them help, safe help. And we also give them a list, all participants, a list of local agencies that they can get that extra support.
Right. So the part that comes as you're listening to the person, and then you, like you said, you're then trying to connect them with resources and keep them safe. What's sort of the standard response, I guess? Is it to physically, you know, escort that person somewhere? Is it to give them a phone number and wait in the room with them until they call that person that phone number for asking for help? Or what's the standard procedure after that, I guess?
I would say it can be a little bit varied. And even in the training, we show vignettes of a variety of, like, if a mom is on the phone with her child in college, like, what could she do? And we discuss that, the different pathways. But ideally, you're not going to leave that person alone unless you have someone else to come in, because especially if they've said yes, then they have a plan, then we're going to make sure that we even give them a clear script when you're doing that warm handoff. You're saying, this is Joe. He's having thoughts of suicide. He's been going through this. Did I miss anything? And then you're doing that warm handoff. And that way it gives them an opportunity to see that it's all in front of them and the clear, and then they can correct you if something's missing.
Sure. Right. And that's important, of course, too, when we talk about listening. It's not just listening, but active listening and responding to exactly what they're saying and helping to repeat back what they're saying to them. So it's clear that you're understanding exactly what they're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Great. So in talking about who should take these trainings, I know you mentioned the district has already trained roughly 195 people since 24. That's awesome. You're having another training coming up on Monday, April,
27th.
What date is that? 27th. Thank you. April 27th. So who are you looking for to participate in that? In this
really
training?
Anyone. It's from 5 to 8 p.m. We will have dinner provided, and they can email me or call me. I do want to also say one thing that when we were talking about the asking, the other thing that we often can forget, if I were to ask you and you said, no, that's not at all what's going on. I'm just having a rough day. You now know that I am someone you could talk to. So that's the other key part of it, is letting that other person know. We also go through, if you are not able to go through these steps, because you have to pick up your child or you're maxed out, you can also go to someone else and say, I'm kind of worried about that coworker. Can you go check on them? So we also walk participants through ways that they don't have to always, like, take it all on, and how, and we're giving them the framework. It's a very doable framework that is equipped with scripts and everything.
Since you brought it up, I'll just ask one more question on that then too, is, obviously, it's a case-by-case scenario, but you said, you know, for the most part, it sounds like you can have some sort of standard flow and maybe some responses in general situations. What if, you know, the person what if they are under the influence, either under drugs or alcohol or something like that? Is there a separate?
It's different. They can't safety plan when you're under the influence. So then it's getting immediate help, because you can't go through the steps that way.
Got it. So in safe talk, then the immediate response in that situation is
you're going to get
call
help.
For help.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Understood. Okay.
Yeah. And I also want to add, it was really kind of cool. There's a scenario in the vignettes with a bus driver, and Canada actually had all their bus drivers trained based on a similar, in reality, there was some truth to this vignette that was in our training. So that's kind of exciting. So it can, and they show you how the guy asks as he noticed some signs, and the guy's like, it's none of your business. And he said, and we talk about what it is to be nosy, and, you know, we're kind of going through that. But he says, well, you're telling me this, but you're showing me this. And so that's why I'm concerned. And so it's, again, kind of, we show them how to go through those steps.
Well, and going back to something you said earlier, you know, it's very important for all staff, not just teachers, to be trained in this way, because bus drivers are a great example. I mean, they are with those kids every single day, right? It's the same group of kids typically for the same amount of time every single day. And they certainly get to notice changes in a child's day-to-day behavior and feelings and how they're acting. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was actually City Bus, sorry.
Just okay.
In Canada,
it
was like their whole City Bus system, but it was really cool. Yeah.
But I mean,
it could be bus drivers. Right. It could be taxi drivers. Anyone, because even if you're in an office, the likelihood, again, like it's most likely going to be through a coworker that you're going to see signs if you know what to look for.
And I guess we should also talk about that because we didn't quite capture all of that. But what should you be looking for? What are some of the tells, I guess?
Well, we talked a little bit about the life experiences and transitions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's dialogue, like, I'm just tired of all this. You know, I think one that gets mentioned a lot is giving away possessions, but it could be a lot of different other things. Just even a change in your behavior, like I talked about, missing work or coming in late. You know, you're seeing a shift in the behavior. One of the things in my job as a social worker, we often will hear, oh, that's just typical teenage behavior. And I always share with parents, there's no such thing, because those signs are also signs, can be signs of depression, can be signs of suicidal ideation or substance use or misuse. So it's something you want to always be checking on. It's not at this age we just disregard it. We always want to be checking and affirming safety. So yeah, Monday at the central office boardroom, which is where they have the school board meetings, we will have from 5 to 8. And all they have to do is email, reach out, or call me.
Great. And again, this is open to anyone over the age of 15, it sounds like. So
this training is for adults only.
Okay, adults only.
Because when we do 15 and older, we have to modify a couple areas, and we also have to get parent permission. So this one is just for community members, parents, guardians, grandparents.
Separately, would there potentially be a 15 plus training in the
yes.
future?
We've done them already. Mm-hmm. Our two high school counselors did a training this school year. Nice. With our CNA class. Okay. And then one of the things that we do when we're doing this training, we always have to have a community support person or representative, and that person is there to be able to step out in case that's needed. If someone gets triggered, you know, even though it's not super deep, we've all been touched by suicide and we recognize that and we honor that, you may need some space and some extra support.
Yeah. Great. I'm glad you brought that up too. Yeah. Because again, for anyone who's maybe thinking about doing this training, but a little hesitant, right. because as you mentioned before, it can be emotionally taxing to take on that responsibility in addition to what you're already doing in your daily life. If you care for other children or you're taking care of loved ones, you know, I mean, that's, it can be a lot emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about this program. Cause like I said just before, that it shows you how you can go get someone else to check on them. And maybe it's just not your week to do that right now.
Right. So it also comes self-recognition. If you're not in that
yes.
headspace, probably better not to
Correct.
Try to offer help. Yeah.
And that's okay. That's right. We normalize that, and we always want you to take care of yourself, your safety, and your well-being first.
Absolutely. Great. Good. Very good. So in general, I would just like to echo or highlight a couple of things. So this training, as you mentioned, is through Living Works. That's their program, but this is like a national and even worldwide international program. They've used, it sounds like from the examples you've given, they've used instances from Canada or other places, not here in Alaska, I'm
all
assuming.
The recordings are in Canada.
They're
from
all Canada.
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any like Alaska or even Kodiak specific elements for this training that go into
not
it?
In the training, okay. but things come up in conversation when we're asking questions to the group.
Right. Okay. But taking Alaska into account, as you mentioned before, you know, some of the statistics that we have, I mean, in general, suicide is a big statistic and cause for death in a lot of our young people in the state. Because of our environment, the harsh winters, the darkness, and the seasonal depression that comes with that, there's sort of these extra layers or considerations, I guess. So, yeah, from your point of view and your work that you do with the district as a social worker, I guess, What do you notice that's maybe a little bit more applicable here that may not necessarily apply, you know, elsewhere?
Well, I think a lot of the things that you mentioned, the darkness and the cold, we're dealing with, you know, high cost of living, the isolation, being on an island, it's difficult to get off. There's a lot of variety of reasons, but I think the more that we can get people who are suicide alert, and that's what we call it in our training, and that they can recognize those signs and ask the questions. And like I said, even if that person says, no, that's not at all. And in our training, we also talk about it, even approaching strangers. If you saw someone upset on a park bench, and there's a variety of ways to do things. And we discuss all of that, and we discuss safety, your own safety. But again, even if they say no, they're now knowing that you know. You're not shocked by it. You can talk about it. So it's creating that open dialogue. And then we also give our participants a sticker so that they can put that on their badge or their office window. And then people will know that they're trained.
A visible sign mm-hmm. to the outside world letting you know, hey, I'm open and available to talk about suicide.
Right.
Yeah. Why, again, from your experience and your field of expertise, why would you say is it so difficult for people to talk about suicide, especially when you bring in like the differences between generations, like a parent to a child, or peer to peer, even in certain situations? Why is it so hard for us to talk about suicide?
I think there's a lot of stigmas involved as well. And we also have cultural barriers and generational barriers, as you said. And then there's a fear of like, if we talk about it, then it's going to bring it up. But one of the things we talk about in the training is that it's not that people aren't that easily influenced. Mm-hmm. What we know with our research is that if you ask the question directly, it allows that person to like get help or also to dispel that. And still, you can still listen. You can still finish the steps and listen. But it's not one of the biggest myths that creates a lot of barriers is thinking that if I say the word, then it's going to introduce it. And that's just not true.
Interesting. Yeah, I appreciate that. And then we've talked already about the signs and things to look for, as you mentioned before. How do we get better, I guess, in our everyday? You even brought up it towards the end there, noticing someone you don't even know, a stranger, and seeing, mm-hmm. oh, something clearly looks wrong there. I mean, how do we get to that point?
Well, and in the scenario, we kind of talk about like some people are like, oh, I wouldn't do that. I'm not comfortable. And that's fine, too. I recall one time when my kids were young and I was downtown and I saw someone in distress. And I didn't feel safe going up with my children because I wasn't sure if they were under the influence. It was unclear. So I was able to call. I just called for help with KPD's non-emergent line, and they came down and checked on them. And I just waited in my car with my kids. So there's a variety of ways that we can help people and make sure that they're getting connected without involving ourselves or, you know, if that's not a possibility. But it's also important to know that, you know, it's not to say that we're going to miss things. We understand that. We can't possibly be present and catch everything. But the more alert you are, the more you, like, with the training, then at least some things are going to pop forward. And then it becomes, we practice it. We get a little more comfortable. Even one of our staff members in the last training said, I didn't realize how hard it was to just ask the question out loud. And we have them ask. And when I said yes, they said, oh, I felt this immediate panic. But you get more used to that, then you will ask the question. You're more likely to ask the question directly.
That's a great point. I mean, just like anything that's challenging and difficult to do, if you haven't done it before, if you haven't directly asked, are you thinking about committing suicide, then it just seems so, like you said in that example, it seems so foreign or just so like it brings heavy. On all this anxiety and it's heavy. Exactly. Yeah. With that too, I'd like to also acknowledge, I mean, we also see that a lot of family members, relatives, loved ones of people who have committed suicide, there is a tendency, of course, to assume, you know, oh, I missed something. There was something more I could have done for this person.
And there are times where, and I think it's really critical that we always clarify, there are times where from the thought to the action, it's a very short time. It's rare, but it does happen. And so the action in between isn't as possible. So we always want to be sensitive to that. That does happen. And we're doing our best. And when you know the material and you understand and you can be looking for it, great. But if you didn't know, you didn't know. And we just have to kind of be forgiving of ourselves, that we do the best that we can, and the more knowledge that we have, the more we can be empowered to ask the questions and to see it.
So if I'm understanding what you said towards the beginning there, you're saying there is a pretty short window between when someone has had the thought, made a plan, and when they take action. You're saying there's
I'm saying that's a rare instance.
That's rare.
But we do mention it in our training, because there are people who are like, well, wait a minute, I had a family member. I didn't know. None of us saw anything. We understand that. That's just more rare where the window is short.
So a lot of times then this is like months to...
Yeah, we don't talk about time frame, I'm just saying, like, those rare instances where people are like, I didn't see anything. They may have had a thought and then they may have taken action very quickly. Yeah, and not shown any signs that were apparent to everyone.
Okay, understood. Typically, it's not going to be.
Typically, yeah, like you're going to have some signs.
Okay, all right. And then in terms of the resources that we have available here in Kodiak, you mentioned before in the example you gave, you know, with you saw a stranger in distress, your reaction then response was to call KPD through 911, I'm assuming.
486-8000 is their non-emergence number.
The non-emergent line. Got it. And in that situation, then obviously a police officer from Kodiak Police Department shows up and does sort of like a welfare check. Mm-hmm. Is there another response? I mean, depending on the situation, obviously, there may be a need to have an ambulance come instead of a police officer, right? Could you kind of talk about that?
They usually would then assess that. And then we also talk about in our training, it could be that you're willing to approach a stranger if you have someone with you. Could depend on your gender. There's a variety of factors. Could be that there's someone at a shop that can come over and help. Like, there's a variety of scenarios that can happen, but it's really about making sure, like, you're safe first, but how to go about getting that help.
So going back to the resources here in Kodiak then, so you apparently or obviously give the non-emergent line for KPD. Do you mainly recommend somebody call 911 in an emergency situation, obviously, but are there other specific resources?
Okay. Yeah, so if they were like, for example, it was a student and a teacher talking, they might do a handoff to one of the counselors or myself or admin. And then we also, like, let's say it's in a workplace, it could depend that you could be driving them to the hospital. You could be driving them straight to their provider. Some people already have a clinician that they're seeing. So we will call and say, can we get them in on an emergency basis? And Canna and Providence are really great about that, and a lot of other providers in town. So it's just about, we can give a list of all providers. And when we're handling that at the school district, we're really catering to what, you know, we're calling in the parent or guardian and checking to see what's most comfortable. We want to go with the least dramatic and the least, you know.
That makes sense. I guess I'm just asking from a perspective of, like, if I'm not trained, if I haven't done this Safe Talk training, I don't work at the school district, or it's not, you know, my career field of expertise, who would you say should I go to or reach out to get help for somebody?
Yeah, so there is a crisis line as well, and it could be going to the hospital, but it could be that they are like, you know what, I'm not... not in danger right now, and but you need somebody who's going to do that safety plan with them. So you would need someone with a little bit more training. So if they're, you know, it could be in your workplace, it could be a family member that they can call on that's they're willing to go to or talk to. It could be a professional at the hospital or, yeah. So there's a lot of options. Like even in our district, there's quite a few of us that are higher level trained and that could do that safety planning with them. But again, the safety planning, they have to be willing participant and they have to not be under any under the influence.
And if it happens like, you know, late at night where you're having this conversation with someone and now they've expressed to you that they have thought about suicide, is there an after hours call line?
You can call the 24-hour crisis okay. line. And it's not only, we have a local one here with KWRCC. And then we also have, there are national numbers as well.
And thanks again, Tanya, for joining me here on Talk of the Rock. A heads up for listeners, the training has been postponed. It was originally supposed to be on April 27th. It has now been moved to May 27th. If you are interested in registering for the Safe Talk training, you can email Tanya, that's tanya.silvajohnson@kibsd.org, or give her a call at 907-486-7426. Again, her phone number, 907-486-7426.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.